Revelation chapter 21.
Verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse number 4 is the text I want, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now turn to a well-known text in John's Gospel, please, in chapter 1. And verse number 29, and the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. One final reference, please, in Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 25. And verse number 46, these solemn words from the Lord Jesus, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I trust God will have grace and give us help to conclude this meeting, that I will give a very simple declaration of the message of the gospel. You know, we speak about sin, and sin is the problem in our world. I think all are convinced of that, but sometimes the question is asked, what really is sin? And I've heard a number of preachers, myself included, and we try to define, for an audience like this, smaller or greater, we try to define what sin really is. And when we've defined it all, we're still lost for words. We could use it, sin is disobedience. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is total depravity. Sin is dishonesty, deceit. You can put a number of names upon it. What's on my mind is this. I want to think of the product of sin. Then I want to think of the removal of sin. Then I want to think of the absence of sin. And finally, and solemnly, the enduring of sin. Why I picked in Revelation chapter 5, I took 21 is this. We have really five words. And so everyone in the audience to the back of the hall, you can raise your hand if you like, but these five words, I trust will linger and be etched upon every mind and every heart. That we have those words, no more tears, and I'm going to quote it this way, no more tears, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, and no death. That is the absence of the results of sin will never, never find an entrance into heaven. But those five things are the results of sin that entered in the Garden of Eden. Listen, if we took the mask off our world, and if we removed all the fabrication, and if we took all the veneer, we would find in every heart and in every home, somewhere along life's pathway, my friend, you'll find the tears, you'll find the sorrow, you'll find the crying, you'll find the pain, and you'll find the death. We're living in a world that those five major things confront humankind. We can't avoid it. It's not only affecting sinners in our world, but affects everyone in this building. We are all, my friend, all sometime or other, we experience these five major results or products of sin that entered in the Garden of Eden. Adam never realized. Adam never understood the devastation, the tremendous chaos and havoc that would be caused by his sin against God were for us by one man. Sin entered into the world. Death by sin. Death passed upon all men for that all of sin. Right to the back of the building, friend. This is not something that we in a gospel hall or we as a group of believers, somehow or other, we got our heads together and the brightest intellects all got together and they decided this is what's wrong with humankind. No, friend. This is contained in the infallible, inspired, eternal, incorruptible Word of God. This is God's verdict. This is God's record. This is the road map to heaven, friend. This is the only way sinners can escape the eternal judgment of God. This Word, this Bible, it's the book, my friend, that we absolutely rely upon. It's the only source of reliable information as to our state and as to where we're going after death. It unfolds, my friend, our present condition and it unveils the future destiny of humankind. I don't want to dwell too long on my first point, only to say, I hope it's clear to all the audience, I don't think anyone will object. Look at our world. Think of the tears. Think of the sorrow. Think of the crying. Think of the pain. And alarmingly, and how true, think of the death. That was all the result of sin entering our world. I hope that's clear, that will give you a background to what I want to preach tonight. Because my major theme is this, the removal of sin. I am glad tonight, I am thrilled to know that when I look at the cross and I take the words of John 1:29, this great statement of fact, this great truth that has been propagated and perpetuated throughout the centuries by the greatest preachers and by the lesser ones and by everyone, even privately, these words that have led many a soul to Christ and brought them from their sin state into the marvelous truth of the removal of sin forever. Listen to it. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That sin in its entirety, sin in its totality, sin in its awful reality before the eye of God when God's Son hung on the cross. Please pick up my message. Could I get your attention a moment? He had the tears. He had the sorrow. He had the crying. He had the pain. And marvelously, and blessed be his name, he experienced the death. And that's why the message of the gospel is always centered around the Lamb of God, the person who hung on dark Golgotha, the only one that could remove sin. We remember the woman sitting or lying on her deathbed and the confessor was in before her. The one that she confessed to, and the woman's lying in the closing moments. And someone's standing nearby and they're listening to the dialogue between the two of them. And the woman in her exasperation, she cries out to her father as she called him. She said, please tell me, is there no way that I can go before the judge without my sins? And the poor man had no answer. Would that I was standing in the bedside. Would that I could just pour into that dear soul's ear these glorious, soul-thrilling, emancipating, all-prevailing, potent, powerful, personal words. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Mr. Bingham and I up there in Sydney, never forget it, speaking in the gospel there, we visited certain homes. We visited a dear black lady saved for many years. Her uncle was a drunkard. and he always kind of staggered through the house. He seemed to be always tipsy, always a bottle in his hand, and he was teasing this dear aunt. Always teasing her. When we walked into the room, he was quiet for a little while, and Mr. Bingham said to the dear lady, "Are you saved, madam?" And she stopped, and she put her two hands up to her chest like this, and she said, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and he take mine.'" Oh, my friend, that's for salvation. Could be yours tonight. If you could grasp the whole reason of the cross, the whole purpose of the cross, was that the Lamb of God would be extended upon that tree and the wrath would fall upon him. He had the tears. Someone says, "Where do you get that?" If tears were his in the anticipation of it, what must have Calvary been like in its reality? He had the sorrow, friend. Listen, he's called the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? The Lamentations, my friend, is very fitting as we look at the Lamb on the cross. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger? From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and they prevail against him. He had the sorrows of bearing and removing sin's guilt upon dark Golgotha. His was the crying. Oh, that I could speak with it in tenderness. The lament, the Hebrew lament on the cross, as he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Abandoned upon the cross, God's pure and perfect and holy Lamb, hanging upon the tree, nailed by hands and feet with a crown of thorns upon his brow, pressed in to that lovely brow. He's there upon the cross, forsaken. All forsaken. All forsaken. None to share his parting sigh. You know why, friend? He was bearing your sins and bearing mine upon dark Golgotha's tree. His was the cry. His was the pain. We'll never know, friend. I'll explore throughout eternity with my fellow believers as we gather around the feet of our blessed Lord, as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, freshly slain before our eyes as we gaze upon him. We'll explore the wonders of Calvary. We'll try to explore the wonders and the mystery of his pain when he bore a vile world's sin. I hope there might be someone in this meeting will take it in tonight. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Sinner, out of Christ without a Savior. Still without a Savior, gone on to tempest, wild and bare, far from love and light. Could we turn you by the help of the Spirit of God to a Lamb hanging upon a cross? Tears, sorrow, crying and pain, and thank God for death. That death of shame and sorrow was like unto his birth, which would no glory borrow, no majesty from earth. And on that cross, my friend, God's Lamb, to remove our guilt and sin, thank God he died voluntary upon the tree. He said, "I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." And willingly, thank God he died in the place of the guilty. He stood in my stead. Condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In a big audience, are you saved tonight? Do you know this Lamb? Have you how, when, and where you started for the glory land? Can you go back vividly in mind? My friend, as we're preaching the gospel, can you go back to that moment when as a lost, trembling sinner, condemned already, lost in your sins, you appreciated, appropriated, or looked, or received, or relied upon, or trusted in the merits of the atoning work of the Lamb of God. There's a man stood in an audience to 600, packed every night to hear him, an oratory. Oratory he had, my friend, second to none. He held captive in that big church building in Scotland. He held men spellbound with his oratory skills. And all he could preach was the law and its condemnation. People cringed under his messages. It needed to be preached. People need to know about their sin. But he had no other message for them. People went to hear him because of his oratorial skills. One day he mounts the rostrum and he opens the book to have his message from it. And he appears in John chapter 3 and starts to read down it. And as he's reading John 3, an inner voice says to him, Chalmers, when were you born again? Where were you born again? How were you born again? He went on reading the passage, and that thundered into his mind, constantly, continually. He shortly dismissed his audience. Rightly so. Went up to his little study, and in bended knees, Dr. Chalmers did down. He says, Oh God, I've been searching my heart. I've been preaching to others. I've been searching my heart, and I have never had a time when I was born again. And I have never had a place. I've never known what this is, Lord. I'm still steeped as a religious preacher out of Christ in my sins. Oh God, save my precious soul. In that study, on bended knees, Dr. Chalmers turned the page of Holy Scripture and poring over it with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, his eyes lit upon the words, What must I do to be saved? And he followed through with the answer, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He said, Thank God, I see it now. Christ is the answer. He has borne my sins. He rose from his feet, saved by grace alone. You know, he got up to the pulpit the next Sunday. I would have went in there to hear myself of it. Anyway, excuse me for saying that, but it'll kind of charm you. And of course he got up and he said to himself, should I tell this audience, 600? Should I tell them this story of conversion, this new birth, this experience? It might upset them too much. I'll just preach Christ. No, please. I'll just preach Christ. Not the law now. The man started to preach that glorious, emancipating, unrivaled, unparalleled, emancipating, glorious message, heaven sent, spirit given, to reach you tonight. Right to the back of this building, out of Christ without a Savior. Listen carefully. God wants to save you. He started to preach, and a woman got up in the audience, and she put her two hands to her, cupped them to her mouth, and she shouted out, Hallelujah! The parson's got saved! Yes. I tell you, friend, your preaching's, my friend, different when a man gets saved. You'll soon know it. It's born again too! Oh, my friend, in the meeting tonight, turn to the Lamb! Listen, he bore the load upon the cross. Look to Christ. Look and live. Tonight, the removal of sin, the only way it will be removed. Oh, may God bring some poor, repentant soul to Christ tonight. I was come back reminiscing, not because I'm 62. I reminisce all the time. I did that when I first got saved. I'm still doing it. I was reminiscing when I was asked to tell my conversion in Lurgan. You know, the credentials for a man preaching used to be, he told how he got saved first. Yeah, how, when, and where. And then if you passed, then they would ask you to be back again to preach. Yeah, good thing. And of course I went trembling. I think the bones were shaking within. I was only 6 months in Christ. An audience packed, some of them know what Lurgan Hall's like. Back to the gills. And I got up trembling there. I think I lost the little piece of paper that I had to give the announcement. It fluttered out of my hand. I was so nervous. Still nervous. And I looked down in that hall, never forget, Looking down, I saw a gray-haired man. His brother served the Lord in Venezuela for years. And there he was with a handkerchief out and the tears rolling. And he was rubbing away the tears as I was telling simply how, when, and where God saved an Irishman on the roadside in my sins lost to God. And after the meeting, the older partner went back and I sat at the front. And up the aisle of that hall, that wooden floor, I can hear almost the steps of someone come up. And as they come up, they turn round to me, grasp me by the two hands, the tears coming down the wrinkly cheeks. He said, "Oh, Albert, just to hear how God saved you, it thrilled my soul. And I was just going back when your dad used to pull into Lurgan Town and knock the door and walk in and say, 'Would you mind spending half an hour for my boy on the road to hell?'" He said he used to weep tears, pools of tears, for a wayward boy. Maybe there's a wayward girl tonight in the meeting, and a mother has shed tears, and a father has shed tears for your soul, and you've never looked to the Lamb and trusted in the merits of His atoning blood. God give you grace tonight. Then I never forget the sob that come from His heart. Lives with me. Can't forget it. He said, "Albert, I had a boy at 20. He left no testimony without into eternity. As far as I know, he was never saved." What a solemn reality. I hope tonight that God will touch you. Friend, these things are real. These are heaven and hell for eternity. These are things concerning another world, not the present. It's eternal things in view before us tonight. Behold the Lamb of God, the only removal of sin is placed upon Christ when He died at Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I looked 42 years ago. I'm always saying to myself, wait and tell your conversion some other night when you tell it every night. I find it difficult these boys trying to pump up their conversion. Strange business to me. It pumps itself. And I looked over to a dear mother on the Friday. I got saved on Sunday night about 11 o'clock. I didn't have a watch because I couldn't afford it. I had my brother's coat on. He didn't like it. And I had his tie on. When I dressed in his clothes, I was the best dressed around the boys. He was a Christian going to heaven. He could afford it. I was a sinner, a prodigal in the road to hell, and I could afford nothing. I walked into the house on the Friday, and over a bowl of soup, God bless the memory of mothers. And I tell your mother with a thrill tonight, if you had a message that I had for my mother that Friday at noon. I says, "Mom," called her mother. I said, "Mother, do you see a change in your son?" She said, "You baffle me." Always did baffle her. She said, "There's a Bible in your bureau. You're whistling hymns. You're in at night. And you're going out to a little meeting up in Clockfern in a little hall there. Two men were preaching the gospel. Better not say too much." But anyway, I thought there were Paul and Peter when I went in to hear them after I got saved. And I stood outside the little hall that night. Never forget it. Oh, never forget it. The windows were open. There's only six inside, they tell me. And one man said to the other, "There's no one to preach to. Open the windows. There might be someone passing." I was the one that was passing. They were singing glorious, soul-filling words. Keep them in your hymn book. I love them. If they're not in it, I'll write them in it. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Through the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man, even me with all my sin. Sing it over and over again. I stood under the open window with tears coursing my face. My sins, my friend, a heavy load upon my soul. I wondered, how could I know that Christ would receive me? 2 hours later, when I understood how I knew the Bible said it, and I took God at His word in a moment of time, that when He was on that cross, He was bearing my sin. And the first time I had a Bible in my hand for 5 years, strange, isn't it? It was my brother's Newbery. That never meant anything to me, whether it was Newbery or Schofield or whatever. I just said to him, can I borrow your Bible? And he threw it into my lap, the fastest lightning transaction I think he ever had. He just put it in there. He could hardly believe it. Asking for his Bible. I went into the room and opened up. I want you to get this. It might help someone. I just opened up at random. I don't do that now. And I let those words just almost stood out in the text. But now, being made free of sin, I said, thanks, Lord Jesus, for taking my sins and bearing them upon the cross. I looked across at my mother, and that Friday I said, Mom, I've got news for you. Before he even got it all spilled out, she left the table and heading over to her son. I said, God save me. On Sunday night, and I'm just going to tell you the way I told her. I said, I trust in Jesus. He died for me. Yeah. Threw her arms around me. And I'll never forget what she poured into my ear. That noontime, she said, thank God, the prodigal's come home. Wouldn't it be grand, we're hearing about the lost sheep and the lost son, the lost coin, the sinner without Christ, exposed to danger. My friend, look to Calvary. Look and live. See him lifted on the tree. Hear him say, come unto me. Look, sinner, look and live. I want to think of the absence of sin just very quickly. I'm going to alarm. Sin will never enter. And those five things, those major products of sin, my friend, there'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no death, no graves on the hillsides of glory, no funeral trains in the sky. We're going to alarm the perfect, blessed peace. And you know tonight, we're soon going to shake your hand in the will of God. But before I get to that exit, and Brother David gets to that exit, before you rise from your seat, we have a home in glory, those of us who are seated. His coming is imminent, his coming is near, and we arrive in that home beyond the sky. Thank God for his perfection. Thank God for his beauty. Thank God for his bliss. Thank God for the centrality of heaven. The Lamb of God forever. I want to close solemnly. Can you hear me at the back? Raise your hand. I don't want to shout it. Can you hear me all right? Thank you. I want to look at another world. Those five things that are the product of sin in our world today. And those five things that Christ experienced in all its solemn, stark reality upon a cross as the Lamb to remove sin. Those five things that will never enter the pearl-hung gates. Those five things will be experienced. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Friend, there's going to be tears that are eternal. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be sorrow that will never end. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. There's going to be a cry, and I'll do it tonight. Maybe I'll never preach here again. But what I have in that little glass or that little container, the man crying, and he cries throughout eternal ages, for one drop of water to cool his cup. Never come. Crying will never cease Sometimes I wonder how we Christians can be so cold-hearted as we think of eternity. And a lost sinner, to have the tears, to have the sorrow, to have the crying, and what pain. I can't explore it or understand it or explain it. The fires of eternal wrath to envelop a lost soul, and from the great white throne, body, soul, and spirit, to the path into everlasting fire. Well, might I weep, but let me tell you, friend, death, in all its reality, eternal separation from heaven, light and love and joy and peace and bliss forever. May God grant that, as we conclude with a hymn. Have you got anything for the meeting tonight? Sinner without Christ, look to the Lamb. Be prepared for that grand day when we'll enter that city four square, bright and glorious, where sin will never enter. Escape the awful sentence of eternal judgment. I plead with you. I beg you in Christ's name. I implore you with heaven looking on. I speak to you kindly with the Bible in my hand. Turn to the Lamb tonight. Trust Him. Be saved for eternity. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in thy presence. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the attention of a large audience like this. And we realize, Lord, the variety that's present with us, young and old, from different backgrounds. Some are well used to the gospel. Some, Lord, are strangers to it. And we trust tonight that the simplicity of this message, that Christ's death upon the cross, and all that he suffered, the tears and the sorrow and the crying and the pain and the death, it all was encompassed in the removal of man's sin. We pray, Lord, that some soul tonight might look to the Lamb of God and experience that blessed personal understanding that Christ bore the tree my sins in his own body. O God, preserve any from ever leaving a place like this with all its privilege and gospel light, and forever to the lost in scenes of eternal despair. O God, grant that thou wilt write the message that some lost sheep will be found tonight, that the Savior will lift someone from their danger and dread and darkness and bring them to himself. He has made the appeal while he was here on earth that's valid right to the very present moment. Come unto me, all ye that live.